Hello, hello. Welcome to the Listen Rich podcast with your mindset coach and host, Brandon Lynette. This is your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. This is a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as you explore the transformative power of stepping into greatness. Come into alignment with your God-given power and gifts. Unleash your soul and learn to co-create a life you love. As you become the writer of your own story in this podcast, you're going to find the inspiration, practical tips, and the sometimes abrasive nudge to take the leap of faith towards your dreams. You're in the right place. Buckle up so we can unleash your inner badass. What's up, you guys? I took a day off yesterday, obviously, because we're trying to get my voice back. And so I'm excited to bring a guest on today. And this is another one of my random podcast group searches. I saw her, I peeped her profile. I'm like, she's definitely going to be great for the podcast. So moms, this one is probably for you. I mean, dads too are definitely going to benefit from this, but I'm very excited to bring on Whitney. Her toolkit is cooking classes, but that has transformed into a lot more. She's had a background on coaching women, and we'll talk about her epiphany to, you know, bringing that into parenthood and what our babies need from us right now. So Whitney, thank you so much for agreeing to jump on a podcast off the cuff.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. I work best that way anyway. Yeah. So I love it.
I feel like, you know, people are always like, how does this work? And I'm like, there's a lot of professional people. We're in some podcast groups. I'm assuming that you're in more than just the one I found you in. And it's funny because people have these huge bio pages. They've got links of applications and all these things. And I'm like, no, I just think your vibe is cool. Can you come have a conversation with me? I'll send a Zoom link shortly before we get started. It's very, I'm probably the most unprofessional podcast host, but it's working for me. So I'm not complaining about that.
I appreciate it. I love that you sent it in Facebook Messenger. I'm like, that's honestly easier than an email for me. So we're on the same page.
Hands down. I mean, how many emails are we getting a day? I get 1,000. So the minute someone's like, email me, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
not going to happen for me. So
got to put a subject line and everything. It's
right.
Too much work.
It's just a lot. It's a lot. So I want to talk a little bit. Let's talk about your origin story of like, you started coaching women in and on nutrition. So how did you get started into that? And what, you know, compelled you to actually know that you needed a voice to speak with women, to work with them on this?
Yeah. I mean, I think like most women that are in coaching, it comes from their own self-transformation. So for me, I mean, I was always a fairly healthy and fit kid. You know, I played sports and whatever, but after I had my first daughter, you know, I guess you could say I was struggling to lose the baby weight. I hate really that because it's just whatever, it is what it is. But mostly it was just, I felt tired. I was working full-time in the corporate world. I'm just outside Boston. And I was drained at the end of the day. So really long story short, I basically just went through my own transformation of learning how to support my body. And I really focused more on the types of foods that I was eating, like clean, you know, anti-inflammatory, that gave me like all this energy, great sleep, and all of these things. So I just naturally started sharing that. And really that is a reflection of my business as a whole. I've been in business for myself for about 8.5 years, and it's always pivoted with my own transformation. Now, as a mom of 2 girls, 6 and 9, they're in 1st and 4th grade, you know, naturally, like my business has sort of shifted in that way as well, but also just because I'm super passionate about, the things that I was teaching adult women and sort of bringing that to kids as well.
I love that. And my youngest babies are the same age, almost the same age. I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old. So they're fun ages for sure. And just what you were talking about. And I think this is a great podcast just for me, because I think I definitely lack in that nurturing. I'm where you are, right? I'm speaking to the women when like in my own backyard, there's a lot that I could do to continue to grow and nurture my kid. You know, I have this mentality of like, she's just too young. She doesn't understand putting too much on her. And, you know, you're talking about these, teaching kids to self-advocate for themselves.
Yeah.
Right. And I think I am guilty of this. So my listeners, I don't want you to feel like I'm not calling you out. I'm confessing. Okay. I do get in that busy mentality where it's just faster if we're in a rush or something's happening or I have things to get done. like, let me just do this. Let me just do this. Right. And not giving my kid that chance to have the independence and to make the mess. It's like, you know, we get tired on that level of like, even just cooking with my kids, it's just so much easier if I just do it and clean it up and it's done. And, I recently just kind of let go. I decorate cakes for my kids' birthdays. If they request, they get a request a cake for me, or I order one. Right. So my daughter, when she turned 10 in September, I was incredibly busy and all of it was stressful. I was stressed to the max, like making myself sick. I wasn't sleeping 3 days because I bartend and it came right before her birthday and I was trying to get everything planned and I still had to decorate her cake. And I finally was like, you know what would be more fun if I just let her do this? If I let go of the control of this cake has to look perfect. This has to be done right. This frosting has to be a certain way. Let go of that control and let her do it. And with her friend, and they had the most fun. And at the end of the day, I didn't care. It was a big mess. The cake looked ridiculous. It was so great. I am excited to do that more often, to give them that hands-on.
I love that. I know, you know, in my cooking classes, which I know we'll get to that, but it's funny because I always think I have to have these super unique or different recipes and they don't even care. They have fun and they just want to be able to do it without their mom or dad telling them to not make a mess and do it right and all of that. So yeah.
Right. How, as a parent, how did you kind of let go of that? Because it started when my oldest is 22. I was that parent, like I didn't want them to get dirty. Right. So it was constantly like, if you're going to eat, take off your shirt. Don't make this mess. Like my towels had to be folded perfectly. Now, girl, my towels are like bundled up and shoved into the cabinet. Like I let go of that sense of control of like, it doesn't have to be perfect. Messy is okay. Like if the towel is clean, it's fine. It's going to be wrinkled. We're going to survive. Did you find yourself like struggle in any way to kind of let go of that control of it's a control?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it is like, I've never really been a perfectionist when it comes from that with that stuff. So that definitely helps. But, you know, I think it really, like, I've learned a lot and done a lot of work, and I'm sure you're familiar with it as well, with like just around like my nervous system. And I even share, I have a little guide, which I can send you the link, and it's just our family style dinner guide. And it really just walks through what works for us in terms of offering a meal to everybody without feeling like everyone has to eat the same thing. And really the concept just is cook everything up separately, serve it family style, and then everyone puts what they want on their plate. But in it, I give tips about things to do beforehand. And it sounds silly and stupid, but it's little things like read the recipe before you bring your kid into the kitchen, because then otherwise they're going to ask you a million questions while you're trying to read the recipe at the same time. But also, like, are you in the right nervous system state? Because if it, you know, if you're not, maybe it's just been a day, or maybe it's that time of the month. If you're a woman, like, you know, our cycle determines a lot, like maybe today just isn't the day to do it. But related to your story that you were sharing earlier with like the patients and all of that, I mean, I just went through this yesterday. It was a really particularly busy day for me. And in the evening, it was just myself and my youngest daughter, and she's six, she's in first, and she's like really learning how to read and she's really loving it. But you know, every other word she gets stuck and she's like, Mama, I need help with this. And I was trying to cook dinner and also do something on my phone related to work. And I kept getting so irritated and I'm like, I should be proud of her. And you know, but it was like, I wanted her to stop reading because I didn't want her to keep interrupting me. And at the end of the night when we were going to bed and she was reading again, she's like, thank you for helping me. And it's like, so I think it's just, you know, it's like, it's okay to have those moments of like irritation with our kids. That's just your nervous system being pulled in too many directions. And I think women just are challenged with that more than men, right? Like we don't get to compartmentalize our time as much as men, and dads. And that's not always the case. I'm not trying to generalize, but it is often. And I think it's just like realizing that and recognizing like, okay, like, of course this is irritating because I'm trying to do six things at once. So how do I fix that? Right. And how do I change that? And that goes with cooking. And I always say, and the last thing I'll say on this is it's just like teaching your kid to tie their shoe. It's so much easier to just get down and do it yourself.
Yeah.
But obviously if you take the time to teach them, eventually it actually gives you time back. And so that's kind of like the concept that I go with.
Do you have like a set list of things that you do every day to kind of ground yourself, to nurture your nervous system, to kind of prepare for all of that? Do you have like some key habits? Is there a checklist?
Yeah.
What is your self-love, self-care?
Yeah, definitely no checklist for me, but for sure I had to shift when my youngest was home with me and before, you know, going to school full time. Our daily outing was a local fitness studio. It's called a mom village. And so we would go there every day and I would work out and she would go into the childcare, and that was our thing. But when she went to school, that time wasn't working for me anymore because it was cutting so much into my day. So long story short, I moved to doing like 5:30 a.m. classes my entire life. I'm 43 years old. I was never a morning person, literally.
Right.
I would sleep till 11 or 12. But for me now, the days when I do get up and go to the gym, which I try to go at least 4 times a week, those are my best days. Because it gives me, you know, I get that boost, right? The dopamine boost, from the workout. I get home and I have at least 30 minutes typically before my kids are awake. So that's one thing for sure, like working out in general, but for me, particularly early in the morning before the kids are up. You know, just really like my instinct is after I pick my kids up from school around 3 is to come home and want to like sit down and immediately get back to work. And so I force myself to try to take like 20 minutes to just sit with them and like talk to them about their day. I do not open my calendar after the time I pick them up from school. It just doesn't work for me to try to be on calls when they're home.
Right.
And so just taking that time to like really kind of like pour into them. Do they need help with homework? Those kinds of things. Because otherwise, if I try to jump right back into work, they're inevitably going to need me for a snack or for homework. And then I get irritated. And then just going to bed at a decent time so that I can get up the next day.
Right.
Is key for me. So like I typically try to turn off, you know, the TV, be in bed by 9:30, and then I usually just read for a couple minutes and go to bed. So those are like the main things for me that kind of keep me just like, I guess you could say, my nervous system in check and like not drained.
Right. Those are amazing boundaries. And I think as moms, we guilt ourselves
I'm
when it
not
comes
perfect.
To those
I
boundaries.
Definitely break rules many times, but yeah, that's the goal.
Absolutely. And I mean, the fact that you're even talking about yesterday, like you felt that frustration of like the multitasking with your kid reading, I think that's super relatable to people. It's hard when we get people on the podcast that are just like, have it all figured out. And I think, you know, the magic of my audience is they know the mess
yeah.
is there. Like nobody has it all figured out. Nobody has it perfect. So my question is, because like, I don't like cooking. It is a chore for me. And I'm just like, I do it, get it over with, get it done. So what are some things to try to, because I do like, you know, I look at amazing moms like you guys inspire me, you motivate me, you cook with your kids. And I'm like, I want to be that mom. I'm not crafty. I'm not, there's a lot of things I'm not, there's a lot of things I am. So what is that? What is the next right step to try to get into that mindset to make cooking with your kids like a priority, something important, something fun?
Yeah.
How
Also,
did you get started into
also not a crafty person, even though I grew up with an art teacher for a mom.
Oh, wow.
Not a fan, but I don't, you know, but that's the thing. So I think a couple of things. The one thing that I do say is if you are the person, now listen, like not everyone's going to love everything, right? Everybody's different.
Right.
People are going to be drawn to different things. So there's no making someone like fall in with cooking, but there's certainly things that we can do to encourage that and like, and maybe make it a little bit less of the worst thing in the world. And so I always say like, if you are the mom that hates cooking, I get it, right? Because it could be related to so many other things like your schedule and, you know, your kids are in a million activities and all of those things. Like I get it, but I always say, wouldn't you want to do whatever you could to potentially make that not the case for your kids? I didn't really word that in the best way, but like I found the conversations that I had, and this isn't always true, but generally speaking, the people and particularly the moms that don't love cooking came from a household that also didn't love cooking.
Right.
And that's not always the case, but like often it is. And so I always say at the very least, just getting your kids in the kitchen and a little bit more comfortable with it, at least that might increase the odds that they don't hate it. They may not love it, but they don't hate it. And wouldn't you think as a mom, if you didn't hate cooking, I think for most moms, it would make their life easier. Like, I'm not saying you have to be an excellent cook, but if you didn't hate it, it would maybe make a little bit easier. So that's one thing, is just it is coming from that perspective of like, okay, this is worth me taking the time to do this with my kids so that they don't, hate it as much as I did as they get older. Also, I think there's this idea that we have to be doing this with our kids every day or every week. Honestly, even just once a month or whatever, they will remember that. Like, those are core memories. I'm sure we even remember times with our families. I always say, like, just when you're thinking about your week or your month, like, pick a day where you don't have activities after school, or maybe it's a Saturday or a Sunday. Like, pick a day that month or that week that you know will work for you to have the patience to be able to, and that you guys have the time to do that with your kids. And like I said earlier about my cooking classes, it doesn't have to be rocket science. My 6-year-old psyched that she knows how to put the Eggo in the toaster. Like, she's, it can be simple stuff like that. So it doesn't have to be cooking Thanksgiving dinner. It can be super simple, like, and it doesn't have to be every day for it to make an impact.
I love that. How did you get into, because cooking kind of brought you to this place. I do want to talk about the retreats and how this is about to get started. So I don't want to forget
Oh,
that.
no worries.
But I do want to talk about, like, you're trying to incorporate this with for kids to self-advocate. And
Yeah.
so this is obviously something that you grew through. So what got you, what brought self-advocating into your awareness? Like, what was that?
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. So this could be a long story. I'm going to try to make it really
Oh, we
short.
love long stories. That's
And
fine.
so, like at least 50% of Americans, I was a product of divorce. So my parents divorced when I was in middle school, and my unique circumstances that number one, the age at which it happened. So I think, and that's probably why I'm so passionate about this tween age, like that 9 to 12 year old, because I think, first of all, it is a transformative time, right? You have puberty, you have this is like when, like, mean girl situations start. And, I'm a female and I have 2 daughters, so I tend to speak to the girls. So
Of
apologies about that.
course,
That's just
of
what I know.
course.
But so I was just a really, I think, a very impactful age to begin with, right? I was like probably around 11 or 12. Secondly, the time frame that when my parents divorced. So I grew up in San Diego, but my family's originally from Utah. So when they divorced, my dad moved back to Utah. Which doesn't really sound like a big thing, but if you think about it, to be an 11-year-old girl and have not only the trauma of your parents getting divorced, and also as a side note, my parents never fought in front of me. So I had no idea that there was any
You didn't see it
conflict
coming.
then. So that was traumatic for me to find out that they were getting divorced, but then also then to have your dad leave. I didn't recognize that at the moment. I actually blamed my mom.
Of
In
course.
retrospect, I've learned that was me feeling unloved and like projecting that on her and saying you aren't lovable enough. So not only did dad divorce you, but he also had to leave the state. But really, like, I realized it was me. Then a year or two later, my brother graduated high school and he left and the state to go to college. So we went from a family of four to just me and my mom as I entered high school. So I have that. Then I have party girl mentality. So by the age of 14, I'm drinking, every weekend. While also, though, still maintaining like the perfectionist image, right? I was my yearbook editor in high school. I was the captain of the field hockey team. I took honors classes. And my mom was just doing the best that she could, battling her own depression and things like that. So, this just continues through adolescence and into college, drinking, but just doing what all the other kids are doing. Eventually discover, recreational drugs, and eventually I'm in my mid-20s and like really realizing that like I'm not really controlling this, right? It like it's controlling me. I'm still succeeding at my corporate job. I'm still showing up. I'm still working 70 hours a week, but when I'm not there, I'm either sleeping hungover or depressed. And really thankfully I found, I started dating my husband, who's a very grounded person. And we butt heads a lot because we're very different. But ultimately, like, it's not that he saved me, but just through life circumstances and whatnot, we decided to move back to Boston, which is where he's from. And I truly think I, at the moment, in the moment, I wasn't like choosing to leave California because of all of those things. But in retrospect, I realized that whether it was subconscious or intentional or not, it did save me. In the sense of like, it gave me a better life, right? Like, I don't
Right.
know that I would have ever been that person that was going to end up on the streets or anything like that, but I don't think I would be happy, that's for sure.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just what I realized was, and what I'm so passionate about is I know that like, we can't keep our kids from experiencing these things, right? And
Right.
inherently, there's nothing wrong with divorce, in my opinion. But like, truth is, at some point in life, our kids are going to face you know, challenges.
Yeah.
And what's the and so what I think a lot of parents are trying to do is we're trying to make sure that we don't that they don't face those challenges,
Right.
when in reality, we should be equipping them with the tools and the self-efficacy to say to themselves, I have the ability to face this challenge and work through it. And then you have, on the flip side, where like the cooking and the nutrition comes in, you have these insane ingredients that are going into our food that are having a direct impact on our kids' mental
Yes.
health and their behavior. And I don't want to get on a soapbox on this because I know everyone falls in different spectrums when it comes to what their views and beliefs are on this, but there's no doubt that it's having an impact. And so for me, it's taking this combination of like, first and foremost, let's put these tools in them, right? Like, let's teach them confidence, resilience, self-efficacy. But at the same time, we can actually enhance their ability to do this and to think this way if they're supporting their body through proper nutrition and food. And I'm not saying, I'm not even talking about giving your kids vegetables. It's
Right.
the little things. It's like, let's take back a little bit of the food diet, okay? So like,
Right.
maybe let's like less Gatorade, like maybe less food that has color in it.
Yeah.
And then like, let's make sure that they're getting some protein so that their brain can actually work. So whatever that looks like. And
Right.
I think that we overcomplicate it. We think that we need to be, it's like they're not eating enough broccoli. And it's like, no, that's not it. They're eating too much of
Exactly.
this
Yeah.
and not enough of this. And yes, also let's try to get them to eat some vegetables, but like no one, they're not going to die because they didn't eat broccoli. They're going to die because they're eating toxic foods and
Exactly.
processed foods. And so it's just kind of this balance of like, let's support our nervous system and our brain and the gut brain connection and all these things through nutrition. And then at the same time, like give them these tools to like, you know, figure it out on their own and not like crumble the minute they see, you know, a mean girl text or, you
Right.
know, or a girl, or they don't think they look pretty enough, you know, it's like it doesn't
Right.
have to spiral. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I love that. Well, so soapbox, you could soapbox the crap out of this because I'm constantly talking about food and what it does to our mood, you know, what's in it and
Yes.
stuff. So I love that you're giving the audience that perspective of it doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to turn into a crunchy granola mom
Yeah.
overnight. You don't have to like throw everything in the trash. It's about balance, right? The food poison, all these toxins, that I wasn't really aware of that for a while, for a long
It's
time.
all of
So
a sudden it's gotten really
yeah,
big in like the
it's
last
just,
month.
you know, even, you know, the past couple of years, like my second oldest always had like, I'm putting her business out there. I hope she's not listening. Just really rough periods. And so
Yeah.
I'm like, babe, listen, hydrate more protein and get rid of the hot Cheetos,
Yeah.
the energy drinks, like slow down on this stuff, the pop, all of that.
Yep.
And like, I'm not a pop person. I drink water. So if you ever come over, I'm like, we have water. Like my kids don't get the
Yeah.
juice. They don't get
Same.
the, it's just water, water, water,
And those
water.
are the easy swaps. I mean,
Exactly.
if that's their addiction, for lack of a
Yeah.
better word, sure, it's harder. But
Yep.
like you said, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah, it isn't
No.
as, I don't think it's as complicated as most people think it is.
And it's not. And what happened is like once I'm like, why don't you give it a shot? Give it 30 days, see what your period is like, right? Wouldn't you believe when she cuts out the hot Cheetos and she cuts out the pop, like she's not dying for 3 days a
Yeah.
month. She can handle it, right? And I think it's happening to us not just physically, but absolutely with the mental and the emotional. I know when my kids are hopped up on candy, their behavior is insane. Like
Yeah,
their nervous
craving.
system's out of control, that, you know, their body's not in alignment. You can tell. So, you know, days like Halloween, obviously we know that's coming. I know my kids are going to be, it's the crazy moment. It is what it is. We're going to get through it.
The teachers I feel bad for.
Exactly. Like, I homeschool. So I have that coming, but, no, I think it is important to know that it is just about taking out the small things. Like my 6-year-old loves Doritos. I found some knockoffs that don't have the dye. They don't have the, there's a lot of stuff that's not in them. So I trade that out and it's still a treat. It's not like every day you're going to get these. Yep. It's once a month or every 2 months, I buy her a bag that she can snack on. Right.
Yeah.
So it is just about like trying. It's not a perfect science.
Yep.
Swapping out those little things at a time.
Yeah. And just having them be mindful of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's really just like, I say, if my kids will ask, can I have candy? You know, I don't always do this, but I try to say, you can do whatever you want. Just think about how you're going to feel after you eat that. And is that how you want to feel? And usually when I give that freedom back to them, sometimes they do it, but a lot of times they, at least they think about it. And even if they do eat it but then they are mindful of how they do feel after. And so that when they become an adult and they don't have you telling them what to eat, they're making those decisions for themselves and not, you know, going bananas.
Right. Then, I mean, I feel like it turns into the binge eating, the parents that have never let their kids experience certain things. I feel like the absolutes and the extremes are kind of a scary place to be. You know, do I wish that none of this existed? Yes. Do I wish there was an overhaul on our food industry and everything that works together to kind of just poison America? Yeah, I think I wish there was change there, but it's not an overnight fix. And I feel like those absolutes, it's a mentally toxic thing. My daughter is going to be a teacher. So she's in college right now, her senior year of college. And she talks about how she has a couple of kids that come in and their parents never let them have anything. They can't have the snacks at the school. So they have their own private things. And I think that's just mentally going to fuck them up. Right. Like, so the extremes are tough, but I know we want to protect our babies. Right. Yeah. And some people, they do have it at that extreme. And I love that, but you know, there has to be a level where we are letting our kids acknowledge how they feel and to be able to navigate that. Like, do I want to feel, I'm an adult and I still do shit that makes me feel bad.
Yeah. So I think too, like there's a payoff, right? Someone said this, she was actually an intuitive eating coach. And number one, she said, health isn't linear. And that really always stuck with me. Like it's never a straight road.
Correct.
But also, you know, there are payoffs and benefits to the emotional joy that you get in certain eating experiences, right? So like, for example, I'm sure you and I both probably try to cut out food dye as much as possible. But at the same time, I recognize that my child being able to eat a cupcake at a birthday party is joyful for them.
Yeah.
And it's not about like, of course, some of it is that, yes, you just have to give them a little bit of wiggle room, right? But there's that. So, or like for those that are on a health journey and you're at Thanksgiving dinner, in my opinion, like there is joy that comes from being able to experience those comfort foods that we grew up with. And even though it doesn't fit in your macros, it's still feeding your soul. And I think teaching our kids that when to be able to pick and choose those times is important.
Yeah, I agree. I love that. Okay. So you're talking about, you have your first local retreat coming up for moms and daughters. And I want to know about this. I want to know about the origin story of how this came about and what your intention is. What are we doing here?
Yeah. I mean, I think just kind of if you took everything we just talked about, that's really where the inspiration came from. Again, I think having my own daughter be in that sort of age range, but and of course, just with my, you know, my life and experience, but I just think it is that key pivotal point in time where they're old enough to really be able to grasp some of these concepts, but young enough that we can hopefully instill these tools and this mindset that going into, you know, as they get older, you know, we can give them those things that like you and I have probably learned as adult women, you know, especially the space that you're in and like listening to the things that you were talking to your guests about or your audience about, like you were in the last one that I listened to, you were talking about, you know, not isolating ourselves, right? And social anxiety and those things. And it's like those same conversations we need to have with these kids so that hopefully they don't waste any of their youth going through these experiences. And with the, you know, prominence of social media and things like that, it's they're facing things that I at 43 did not face as a child.
Right.
You know, I didn't have that it scares me because I don't know where I would be if I had those things. So, long story short, like the retreat itself, and of course, yes, it is here in Boston. I definitely have visions of it going national for sure, but it's called Bloom. It's for moms and daughters together, 9 to 12. And the reason I did that is because I think, again, as parents, it's really easy for us to give our kid to somebody else to teach them something, but
Yeah.
we aren't, you know, we're not learning it ourselves. And I think that right now there's a lot that we as parents also need to either learn and or be reminded of in this space. And so we're going to be covering a portion of it that I will be covering will be high level, like nutrition. And we're going to do a little food activity just to kind of, you know, to make that connect those dots. I have a former school psychologist. She works for herself now, coming in to talk to the girls about things like relationships and confidence. And then I also have a woman coming in that does art experiences. And so we're going to be basically doing like an art project, for lack of a better word,
Yeah.
but with around the concept of vision and dreams and like things like that. And just getting, you know, I think a lot of women, as you know, in what you do, lack that ability to dream and have vision, and therefore it's never taught to their kids. And so, again, just giving them, it, you don't have to, you know, have a dream or a vision to be, you know, famous. It could just be to be a teacher, but like, what are you bringing to that? And what is that like, what mission and why do you want to do that? And all of those things. And so that's kind of the nitty gritty of it. We're going to end it with a little dance party and an ice cream sundae bar. And, we're going to have a photographer that's offering, portraits with moms and daughters, like 5 minute little mini session, all that kind of stuff. So I'm just really excited. Most of my cooking classes are with the younger ages, so anywhere from like 2.5 up to maybe fifth grade. So I'm really excited to be able to do something with that slightly older generation, older group of kids. And hopefully, you know, like I said, do it, you know, a couple times a year and hopefully, expand it from there.
I love this. I'm excited for you and I'm excited for the people that get to experience this. How many times a week would you say you are cooking with your babies?
With my own kids, I mean, honestly, this is the other thing I try to teach. It's seasonal for us. So we're in a very busy season. The activities that my kids are in right now, my daughter, my oldest is in cheer. So she's at practice 3 to 4 nights a week.
Right.
Competition Saturday, game Sunday. So this time of year, fall, maybe a couple times a month. Slower season, like in the winter, probably a couple times a week. And like I said, it varies. Summer, barely ever, because we're busy, we're out all over the place. But that's okay, right? Because they still know what I do. They still see me cooking. And I don't cook like a start to finish dinner. I mean, the other day we got home, we had a late night. I made a salad from a bag and fried egg sandwiches. Like that was dinner. But that's okay for like, I think it's just to see food ingredients come out of the fridge or the pantry, somehow manipulated and prepared and then eaten, as opposed to takeout and or like just throwing something in a microwave. It can be as simple as that. Making a sandwich, it doesn't matter. It's still, you're still preparing the food that you're gonna eat.
Right. I love that for you guys. So I want to jump back to this social media thing. And I'm just curious because obviously my two oldest kids got the cell phone, you know, that they started public school in high school. So they got cell phones. Big regret for me. I'm not a fan of that. I'm big regret because I see what it's done to them. And they're at the age now where there's, you know, whatever I say is I'm going to get an eye roll and I don't know anything. Okay. They're in their 20s. They're the boss. They know that they don't have a problem with it, but I see it. So I'm curious, like, because my 10-year-old is constantly like, when can I have a phone? When can I have a phone? Never. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
When you're 18, when you're out in the world, we'll talk about it. But how do you deal with social media and screen time with your kiddos?
Yeah, this is, something I'm becoming a little bit more vocal on, and I try to be careful because we haven't actually really navigated it yet, if you will. Like, I am only going off of, I always kind of say, like, our rule right now is this, but I totally accept the fact that that might change, right? Because just like I said before I had kids that they were gonna eat vegetables and salad, then I had kids and I was like, oh wait. So I
They
think
only
it's
want
just,
chicken nuggets.
yeah,
What do we
exactly. I
do?
think it's important to have like your values and your morals in place, but to know that
Right.
like you may have to change that. So I will say that like for me, I know how addicted I am to my phone, and I'll just say it.
Yep.
And I didn't get a phone. I mean, my first phone was when I went away to college when I was 18, so 1999. But I wasn't on social media on a daily basis, and really until probably when I started my business 8 years ago. So I was,
Same.
let's just say 30, let's say 10 years ago, let's say I was
Yeah.
34, and I have trouble with it.
Same.
So when you understand, for the people don't understand, but when you start to understand how a kid's brain develops, right? So their brain is not fully developed until they're in their mid-20s.
Right.
And so when you put a screen in front of them, and as particularly a phone that's isolating, it's different with a television, right? It's you're not in your own world. I mean, you can be
Right.
a little bit, and I'm not saying they can be in front of the TV all the time,
Right.
but tablets and telephones are isolating,
Yeah.
and you kind of get in your head. So there's a difference in my opinion. But our she's same. She's four in fourth grade. Many of her friends have them. I
Yeah.
honestly think a lot of parents get them because A, they're just tired of saying no, or B, sadly, it's a birthday or a Christmas, and they think they have to get their kid a device, and that's the
Yeah.
big thing, right? So I think what we're doing for my 9-year-old for Christmas is a Kindle Kid, because it kind of gives that itch of the device, but it's reading. And then we'll explore potentially like a smart watch or something when she turns 10
Right.
in March. I haven't done a ton of research on like the bark phones and things like that. I get the concept of wanting to be able to communicate with them, but I always remind myself, I know that the world's different, but I don't think it's as different as people think. I think the
Right.
media tells us a lot to scare us.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, I didn't have that when I was a kid, and I was in just as many activities, and I was on the bus to away games just as often, and I was at my friend's house, and if they needed me, they called the parent. And
Right.
so I think we're probably on the same page. I understand that like what ultimately happens might be different than what we want
Right.
to happen, but I would like to prolong that as long as possible. And certainly when she does get a phone, it will not have access to social media. But
Right.
I also talked to her about it. So it's not like just a no because I said so.
Yeah.
I tell them all the time, I talk to them what it does about what it does to their brain. And like they'll even say it to each other. They'll say, like, you've been watching TV, your brain's gonna turn to mush or whatever. And
Yeah.
obviously, like, I expand on that, but I talk to them about it, and I explain why we are holding off. And it's not just because, they're not responsible enough, or just because we said so. Like, I tell them, I talk to them about the effects that it has on their ability to feel joy.
Right.
And they do learn, they do get it. They know, they understand more than we think that they will.
Right.
And hopefully then by the time they do get it, they'll get it. They'll understand it. But I also do want them to be able to learn how to use social media, because I don't want them to turn 18 and then get it and then go bananas, just like they might
Right.
with food or alcohol if we
Exactly.
cut it out. So it's hard.
Yeah.
It's a fine line, and I think you just have to do what works for your family, but also educate yourself on the effects that it genuinely is having on our kids' brains, anxiety, emotional and
Right.
mental health, and behavior.
And that, I mean, I had to explain it to my husband because when I'm not here, he lets them, they get TV and video games 2 days a week. Otherwise, during the week, like I homeschool, so I feel like I'm with them 24/7. So having a phone isn't, we don't even have to think about it, right? Because I'm not like leaving my kids. They're
Yeah.
with me. So I am blessed with that. It changes things because I'm not sure where I would be if they were in public school. Would I want, would I want that access to them?
Yeah.
But even just telling him at night, if you just get that light out of their eyes for an hour before they go to bed, it changes everything with, you know, their circadian rhythm. It changes everything with how they feel. 1 hour before bed, if you just turn it off, that's like part of that. You know, maybe you do have to have your kids on screen time, but you don't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be an absolute. It doesn't have to be whatever, but just start with that small little thing, like an hour before bed, no blue light, no TV, no phone, no tablet, an hour before bed. That's my non-negotiable.
Yeah. And I think when people start to educate themselves, like screen time and food diets to me are very similar.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started noticing we had to put restrictions around screen times. And honestly, the girls were on their tablets because I was being lazy and
it was convenient for us.
And so what I started noticing was about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, the 30 minutes to an hour after they got off their tablets, my then, you know, 8-year-old was just an absolute witch.
Yes.
She was mean to everybody.
Yes.
She was super irritable. And that people have to understand that the dopamine receptors that the tablets and the screens are hitting are the same as drugs.
Yes.
And so when you take that drug away from them, they get irritable and they get antsy. And food diets are similar in the sense that it hits those brain receptors. And when you learn about that, you start to see the behavior in your kids differently. So my husband's the same, right? Like, he's going to just immediately think, oh, she's misbehaving or she's not listening.
Right.
And it's like, no, this is actually a result and side effect of this. And so as soon as we took those away, we take them away during the week, they can have their tablets on the weekends.
Yeah.
For a limited amount of time. As soon as we did that, the change in her behavior night and day. And I think if more parents just understood that, then they see that like their child isn't the problem or there isn't anything wrong with their kid. They're just being exposed to things that are affecting their mental health.
Right. And I don't know. I love what you do because I think, especially from that parent aspect, the standpoint of these are our babies. And there's so many parents out there that have no clue. Like it hasn't been brought to their awareness. This needs to be talked about.
Yeah. They just don't know.
They don't know what they don't know. And then all of a sudden we've got people talking about bad kids. And I'm like, there's no bad kids.
Yeah.
Kids are bad. And this, you know, the idea of just like part of my frustration with public school is one of those things. Like we give kids all these food dyes, we hop them up on screen time. Then we send them to school and expect them to sit in a chair for 8 hours. Like it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. So
yeah, I agree. And you know, I'm lucky, I guess you'll say, is in the fact that like I have two kids that, you know, have no learning disabilities. As far as we know, they don't really have behavioral issues. Like they don't, and I'm not saying that as a pride point, like so for us, it's fine, but that's not the majority of kids.
No.
And like, you know, you're right. And the amount of time that they have for recess in school is like a crime, you know, I mean, recess and lunch.
Yeah.
Like I'll say to my 6-year-old, I'm like, you didn't eat anything. She's like, I didn't have time.
Exactly.
And I'm sure she's socializing,
talking.
But that's normal.
The point. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what should be happening.
Right. And now all learning is on their computers. I'm like, God. Okay.
And that is our homeschool is on the iPad for sure. Like most of their homeschools on the iPad. So it's definitely a balance.
Yeah.
It is a balance. Cause I can tell, you know, just, this is our second solid week where I cut out. It used to be like after 6 o'clock, you guys could play video games for an hour. You can watch movies, whatever. This is the second week where I was like, you know what? I'm done with, like, I'm getting stressed out because of their behavior. We're snapping at each other. It's not productive. Like we were going at it. And I'm like, first of all, I need to get myself in check and this just has to be gone. Right now we can't handle that 1 hour a day. Like it just needs to be gone during the week. And who they are is night and day. Night and day. Was it more convenient for me? Absolutely. Cause I could be in my office. I could be writing. I could be doing I could be doing a lot. And now they're just like right here, mom. Mom.
Yeah.
Play Barbies, mom, play Uno, play, you know. So it's a change. It's different, but it's working and their behavior is different. So I would say moms that are listening, you're like, oh, I can't make this harder on myself. Just start with that. Like turn off the screen an hour before bed, you know, give them that little bit of a reset. So, to all my parents listening, what would you say to them? Cause they're thinking like nutrition, screen time. They're like, Where would you start right now with my audience to tell them when they're done with this podcast, just to implement, start small? What would be your advice?
I think first I would just say, know that we have the power for change, and that, you know, we have a lot more control over our kids', you know, journey and destiny than we think if we just turn up the awareness, right? And we force ourselves to just step back and take a look at what's working and what's not, right? Because just like you said, most parents or many parents aren't going to look at a situation like you just described and connect that to screams. They're just going to accept that life's crazy and life's busy and this is just what it is. And I think that, you know, I live my life from a point of I don't want to regret things, right? And so even though you making that change and then having to be more present with your kids, realistically probably cut out maybe an hour of your productivity for work for the day. When you go to bed at night, I bet you feel more fulfilled and better than you did had you spent that hour working and checking things off your to-do list and letting them be on their screens. And I think so it's that forward thinking, right? Like no one wants to really, most people don't want to, you know, choose salad over pizza. And actually pizza is not unhealthy, in my opinion, if you eat the right stuff. But, you know, it's just saying, making that decision for the long-term result, right? And not for the immediate result is just kind of what I would say from like what perspective I'm coming from. And then I would just, like you said, just pick one thing. What is one thing that I can add or subtract from our daily lives that is going to bring more enrichment to our lives and make us happier? And maybe that is cutting back on screen time. Maybe it's changing something that you're eating. Maybe you have, like, say, a tween daughter and you want to have a journal that you guys pass back and forth where you write to each other, whatever that looks like, you know, just because once you do one thing and you see the impact that it has, it makes it easier to do all of the other ones because you see the payoff and you see the benefits. And so just picking one area of your life that's bringing you added stress or something that you see your child struggling with and figuring out what's one thing that I can change. Small thing that I can change. Maybe it's getting up earlier to go to the gym. You know, maybe it's cutting out food dyes. Maybe it's taking away screen time. Maybe it's going to bed earlier. Maybe it's just sitting and having a conversation or playing games. I love playing games, but most nights when my 6-year-old asks to play, I don't want to because I want to do what I'm doing. But when I do say yes and we sit down and we play even for 10 or 15 minutes, like we're both happier afterwards. So just pick that one little thing that you can make, be aware, you know, explain to your kids why you're making the change and then make sure that you point out the benefits and the impact that it has either immediately or at some point down the line. And then, you know, once you experience that transformation, then you're more likely to like be willing to make other changes if needed down the line.
I love that. Whitney, thank you so much for sharing all of this with us today. And what do you have a website that we can bring people
to? I'll send you all the links. So, you know, for those that aren't in the Boston area, because obviously, like, you know, my classes and my retreat are local. If you, you know, go on my website or join my email list, I don't spam you, but like usually once a week I'll send a recipe that I am like loving that week. You know, randomly sharing like parenting, you know, honestly, not tips because I'm not an expert. I just usually experience something with my kids and then I learn a lesson from it and then I share. You can find me on Instagram at Whitney_Cardosi. Just search Whitney Cardosi and I'll come up. I'm most active there. My website's WhitneyCardosi.com. And I'll share all the links with you as well. I also have like a whole page of just like digital resources, different recipe guides that I put together, you know, things that you can just literally just sign up for it, get in there. It's free. You know, I just like to give as much as I can to my peeps.
Perfect. I appreciate you. Thank you so much, Whitney. You guys make sure you check the show notes to click on everything she has for us. And I'll see you guys tomorrow. Love you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.